so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say
good morning and welcome to New Covenant Fellowship, Sunday, June 4th, online service. My name is Jimmy Bean. I have been a member of the church now for a little over a year. A little over a year ago, I was actually hired to play in the band, which I enjoyed immensely, but I was quite comfortable with playing in the band and going home after service and just getting on with things. After a while of listening to especially Pastor Renee's words and watching along with one of the songs we were doing in the band, the song was called God of Wonders, and the words were, "The universe declares your majesty." Those words really resonated with me. I'm also a songwriter and am always looking for a way to say the most with the fewest words, and what a wonderful line. The universe declares your majesty. Pretty much states it all. I was very moved by that, and also by a book written by one of our members, Vern Fine. The book is called Radical Faith by Vern Fine. I would highly suggest that you read this. On the back of the book was a quote, and from this quote, I was hooked, and I went home and read this book that night and decided, after reading it, that I was soon going to be baptized. The quote is this by Vern. "So in my life, I was two kinds of freak. First, a freak because those of us who were immersed in the counterculture eschewed the term hippie, preferring to be called freaks because we did not want to be a normal part of the broken, hypocritical culture we experienced around us, including marriage, school, government, and religion. And then when I became a Christian, Jesus freak seemed an apt term for us young believers who passionately embraced the commitment to follow Jesus in radical discipleship. Yep, that hooked me. And I was also a freak. When I was younger, I've made my living as a musician most of my life and had very long hair and was not too much into being a part of what the status quo was about. Let's just say that. At any rate, these things I've mentioned took me on my path to be baptized again in the faith that my mom had introduced me to many, many years ago. And I know that she would have been very happy to know that I was coming back to Christianity, and I was baptized 2 weeks before my 63rd birthday. So I got baptized back in late November of 2022. Once again, welcome to this morning's service, and I hope that you've enjoyed what I have had to share. Hope to see you at church soon. Best wishes always. Bye-bye.
Oh, Lost ever be found. Hi, Ron Simpkins here. Renee asked me to read Matthew 28:16-20 before her teaching, and also to make a few comments about some of the wording. Matthew 28:16-20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came near and spoke to them. I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age. One of the words that Renee asked me to just comment briefly on is the word worshipped. The main content of the word worship, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is actually very physical. It literally means to fall on your knees in order to honor someone. Obviously, our word for worship tends to be quite different. It's come to describe gatherings to sing, read scriptures, and teach, or sometimes just devotional feelings. The New Testament does have another word that's sometimes translated worship. The Greek word is latreia. That's somewhat closer to our word worship, but it's also quite different at times. Latreia is the source of the word liturgy that we do use, and the New Testament writers use it to describe all of us serving God as priestly servants, both when we gather together, but also when we go out to live our daily lives in the world around us. Here in Matthew, however, the picture is of people down on their knees before Jesus to honor him. Also, the word doubted was in the translation. That word's only used twice in the New Testament, and the other time is when Peter's out walking on the water toward Jesus, and then he becomes afraid. And Jesus says, "Why have you doubted?" in our translations. The word in Greek tends to mean hesitate. So Jesus is actually saying, why did you become hesitant? And that would be true here too, that these people are worshiping, but at the same time, they're a little wavering, a little bit hesitant about what's going on. We actually have a number of English phrases that probably reflect what's going on here in the Matthew passage. There are times when we're caught between what we see going on and the emotions that make us hesitant to put our weight down fully on what we think we're seeing. A few examples. I just couldn't believe my eyes. Or our phrase, it just seems too good to be true. Or, it's just too much to take in all at once. Those all seem to be the same thing that's being described here. Luke actually just uses a similar phrase to the one here in Matthew for a similar event. Luke says in Luke 24:41 of these same disciples, they just couldn't believe it because they were so happy and so amazed. Finally, it's important to note that these faithful Jewish followers of Jesus, who were hoping that Jesus was about to end the Jewish diaspora, the scattering around the world, are instead told to become part of the diaspora, to scatter themselves, and to invite Gentiles everywhere into their community of God's people as equals.
In the morning. Hello, dear family and friends. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio. Welcome to the season of ordinary time that follows Easter and Pentecost, Passover and Shavuot. In both the Jewish calendar and the Christian calendar, this is a time marked by the rhythm of weeks, where we are encouraged to work 6 days and then rest, observing the Sabbath as our holy day. Ordinary time is where we spend most of our lives, and so it matters how we live it. Do we attend to God's expression of beauty in creation and in the breath of our everyday existence? Do we choose to gather as a community of faith? And if so, what is the purpose of our gathering? How does our understanding of worship and of the divine presence in the world and in our lives shape the way we live our ordinary time. I would like to begin this season of Ordinary Time by contemplating mystery, the mystery of the Father in relationship with the Son, in relationship to the Holy Ghost. Many theologians and ordinary believers have attempted to demystify Creator God's relationship to the human Jesus and the wind of the Spirit. Perhaps it is human nature to attempt to define and explain, and yet we also have the capacity for awe and wonder, faith and uncertainty. In today's passage that Ron read, Matthew 28:16-20, the disciples experience all these emotions and more. Ron noted that the word worship used here is different from what we might imagine. This is a physical prostrating of oneself before authority. Jesus acknowledges the appropriateness of this response, asserting that all authority in heaven and on earth had been granted to him. And while the disciples recognized that something amazing was happening, that Jesus' extraordinary relationship with God, whom he called his Father and their Father, had brought about his resurrection, and they were also unsure. Ron noted that this word for doubted is only used one other time, when Peter steps out of the boat to walk on water and then becomes afraid and begins to sink. Upon meeting the risen Jesus, the disciples could hardly believe their eyes that their beloved rabbi and friend that they had seen suffer, die, and be buried was alive again, even as they fell at his feet in amazement and joy. Like Peter walking on the waves, called out upon the water, they had faith and were also uncertain. Walking on water is too good to be true. It makes no sense, defying all logic and sensory experiences of the laws of nature. Recognizing God's anointed, their hoped-for Messiah, as no longer dead, eating bread and fish and also appearing suddenly through locked doors, was overwhelming to the disciples' theology and understanding of reality. And so, if you too, like me, like the disciples who experienced the human and living and resurrected Jesus, sometimes prostrate yourself before the authority of Jesus as Lord and are still unsure, our feet faltering on the waves of impossibility, we are in good company. With Peter stepping out of the boat onto the water, with the disciples experiencing the human Jesus alive and well, changed and yet still bearing his scars. Remember in the story of Peter out on the waves when he is frightened and falters, Jesus reaches out his hand and catches him. This is ordinary time where we are sometimes called to step out of the boat, confident with our eyes on Jesus, and then we wobble, knowing that we are defying all that we thought to be true, the laws of death and gravity and surface tension. And Jesus is there for us, present, stretching out his hand, promising to be with us every day until the end of our age. In a way we don't understand, but sometimes experience as so true. In churches and denominations that observe the Revised Common Lectionary, today is designated as Holy Trinity Sunday. Today at New Covenant, I encourage us to observe it as the beauty of the mystery of relationship and presence. I will not attempt to define the mystery with simple metaphors like water, steam, and ice, or name the relationship with doctrinal titles that placate our desire to replace the mystery with certainty, or explain how Jesus can be present with us. And I will definitely not pretend to describe an official New Covenant theology. If we gathered pastors Ron Simpkins, Jim Linder, Jeff Trask, Judson Chubbuck, and Vern Fine to discuss their understanding of the relationship between God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, I would love to hear the different ways they each try to grasp and articulate this mystery. In preparation for this service, I asked Ron and Dan Amolch and Laura Lindemann to sit with me and discuss theology over coffee. The time flew by as we referenced our Christian educations, theologians like Richard Rohr, and Ron's book, Jesus is One of Us. And from that discussion and my prayer over the scriptures for this week, emerged a teaching focused on mystery, relationship, and presence, and the desire to consider how our understanding of these plays out in ordinary time. For this is where we live, ordinary time. How does the mystery of divine relationship and presence inspire, breathe life into our ordinary time? Thinking of the relationship between Father, Son, and Spirit, I imagine a triangular flowchart with arrows pointing in all directions, our attempts to express the flow in visual terms. And I realize this is a poor description of relationship, mathematical arrows in 2D. Art would be better. Literature. Poetry. Returning to Genesis 1, also included in today's lectionary, when God began to create the heavens and the earth, the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over the waters. God said, "Let there be light." And so light appeared. God saw how good the light was. God separated the light from the darkness. God named the light day and the darkness night. There was evening and there was morning, the first day. From the beginning, in the beginning, God is. God breathes, God speaks, God acts. God's Spirit hovers over the chaos. God's Word enables creation to bring forth light. God observes the goodness of that which God has called into being. This is the beginning of time. A sense of awe. How do we relate to this God? What is our posture and our response? For that, we look to Jesus, who quoted Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5 as the greatest commandment. As translated in the Complete Jewish Bible, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, Israel, Adonai our God, Adonai is one. And you are to love Adonai your God with all your heart, all your being, and all your resources. Throughout the gospel writers' accounts, Jesus exemplifies and preaches this love of the one God, Adonai, with all his heart, his soul, and his strength. He asked God for wisdom in choosing his disciples, praying all night on the mountain. He prays for the multiplying of the loaves and fish, for the healing of many diseases, and even to be delivered from gruesome death, always submitting his will to the will of the Father. And as Jesus prepares to go to his God, to take his place at the right hand of the Father as king on the throne of David, he instructs his disciples to teach disciples of all nations to obey everything that I've commanded you, the greatest commandment and the second one like it, as he quoted Leviticus 19:18, to love our neighbors as ourselves. These are our instructions for ordinary time. How do we live out the loving of the one God with all our heart and soul and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves? Jesus instructed his followers to spread his teaching to all nations, making disciples wherever they go, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son to whom the Father has given all authority, and in the name of the Spirit, who will empower them and remind them of his words and teach them all that they were not ready to learn when Jesus was present with them. Reading this passage in Matthew 22 in the Complete Jewish Bible, it occurs to me that Jesus also relished the mystery of Scripture, the puzzle and the rabbinic process of asking questions and turning the text over and around like a jewel to discover different facets of meaning. Following this interaction, where he affirms the Shema as the greatest commandment and adds the second of loving neighbor as the corollary, Jesus responds with the puzzling psalm that describes what the disciples are about to observe in today's passage of his ascension. In Matthew 22, verses 41 through 46, then, turning to the assembled Pharisees, Jesus put a question to them. Tell me your view concerning the Messiah. Whose son is he? They said to him, David's. Then how is it, he asked them, that David, inspired by the Spirit, calls him Lord, when he says in Psalm 110, verse 1, Adonai said to my Lord, sit here at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David thus calls him Lord, how is he his son? No one could think of anything to say in reply, and from that day on, no one dared put to him another question. As we contemplate the mystery of the relationship of Adonai, the one God, to the Messiah whom David calls Lord, inspired by the Spirit, it seems fitting to sit with the scripture that Jesus referenced, the question that stumps the best biblical scholars of his time. So today, on Trinity Sunday, I would like to emphasize three things. First, the mystery. The mystery of God in the very beginning, the Spirit hovering over the waters, God's Word bringing forth light. The mystery of the breath of the Spirit enlivening the creation of humanity in God's image in the first Adam. The mystery of the Spirit hovering over a Jewish girl named Mary who had found favor in God's sight, to bring forth as the living word the human Jesus, like us in every way, yet totally faithful to God's commandments. Jesus, whom God anointed and pronounced beloved Son, on whom the Spirit descended and remained from his baptism, to whom God has given all authority as judge, the mediator between God and fellow humans, whom God raised from the dead, crowned with glory, to sit on the throne of his father David, the firstborn of many sons and daughters. As we celebrate at Pentecost, God promised and poured out the Spirit available to all who ask, as the prophet Joel foresaw. And Jesus promised to be with his followers to the end of the age. These mysteries enliven our minds and hearts in this ordinary time. Coupled with mystery, the second aspect that I would like to emphasize is relationship. Though we don't fully understand it, we acknowledge with awe the beauty of the relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that perhaps the very nature of God is to be in relationship. that from the very beginning, God desired relationship with humanity, creating humanity in God's own image in order to have relationship. And that when Jesus instructs his followers to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is inviting us into that relationship. We are baptized into relationship, baptized into love, baptized into mystery, and baptized into presence. The third aspect I want to emphasize is the words that conclude the gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age." Jesus offers us his presence, the presence of one who knows the suffering of being human, who is acquainted with our sorrows, who has experienced betrayal and abandonment. Jesus knows what it is like to feel forsaken in his hour of greatest need by God in whom he put his trust. Jesus, who learned obedience through suffering. Jesus is one of us. He knows what it is to be human. Jesus promises to be with us, and we can trust him as our mediator with God Most High, whom he called our Father and his. And we are offered the gift of the Holy Spirit as comforter, as bearer of truth, as empowering spirit to spread the good news of God's love for the world. We are encouraged to recognize the Spirit in every breath we breathe, as God breathed into the very first human. And we are encouraged to see the word and work of God in every aspect of creation, from the first light each morning through the darkness that God called night. And so as we enter the season of ordinary time, I encourage us to have our everyday rhythms of work and rest enlivened by the trinity of mystery, relationship, and presence, that we would daily affirm the greatest commandment, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one," and endeavor to love Adonai with all our heart, all our being, and all our resources, and flowing from that love to love our neighbors as ourselves. So in the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, "Finally, brothers and sisters, put things in order, listen to my appeal, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen." Keep our eyes open.
Hi, everybody. My name's Jackson, and I'd like to ask you to join me in a reading from 2 Corinthians and the benediction. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 and 13. Finally, brothers and sisters, goodbye. Put things in order, respond to my encouragement, be in harmony with each other, and live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And now the benediction. God of delight, your wisdom sings your word, where humanity and divinity meet. Invite us into your joyful being, where you know and are known, in each beginning, in all sustenance, in every redemption, that we may manifest your unity in the diverse ministries you entrust to us, reflecting your majesty in faith that acts, hope that does not disappoint, and in the love that endures. Amen.
From whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and sing forever in Jesus our King, through the power of the Spirit, in the Father of love, praising forever the gifts of God's love. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Forever and ever our song will be sung by those who have lived, and by those yet to come. With them forever, forever we'll raise our voices, our lives, in this song of praise. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise Father, Son.